The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you,
Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you." And he replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit, one at your right and the other at your left." And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. And Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. You have perhaps heard it said that nothing is for certain except death and taxes. Well, today's readings suggest that I can add something to the list: suffering. Today's gospel comes just after Jesus predicts for the third time his coming suffering and death and resurrection. And in the first reading from Isaiah, it's one of the four passages of the suffering servant, and it sounds terrible. It says, "The Lord was pleased to crush him in his infirmity, and by his suffering he shall save many." You know, you hear it a lot said by those who oppose Christianity or question God's existence. If there's so much suffering in the world, how can there really be a loving God? And we hear it said in the gospel, in our faith, that Jesus died for our sins. One must legitimately ask, what does that mean? Does that mean that God is a cruel God that rejoices in suffering, that is pleased by it, that demands the suffering of his Son to make up for our sins? Many Christians, including myself at one time, would try to explain that very difficult passage, "Jesus died for our sins," in a way that kind of implies that. There's many ways Christianity has struggled with that. It took, because of humankind's sin, it took the perfect Son of God, who was sinless, to be equal to scales of justice, for example, so that divine justice would be satisfied and God would be pleased and forgive us. But that type of explanation, I think, falls short, and it really makes God look like one who wants to punish But we know God is merciful, and he desires to save us. And so the Catholic view of redemption is far more nuanced, far more deep. And it has to do with we, although created in paradise, were created in God's image and likeness, right? And if God is love, we were created to love. But love, by definition, must be a free gift. And so we were also given free will so that we could love and choose to love. But we chose to sin. And sin entered the world through one person and spread through all humanity, and sin and its consequences caused the suffering. And that sin separated humanity from God. And so in order for God to save us, God in the first covenant gave us the instructions, invited us to come back, but we were too hard of heart. And so what it took is God came into our existence, our humanity, our sinful humanity, to redeem us and to attach us to himself and bring us back to God. St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, has a beautiful way of explaining it. It says that through Christ we are reconciled to God. The enmity between us and God has been broken down or destroyed, and in Christ, humanity is made one. God, who became human, joins our human flesh in all things so that we humans may be joined again to his divinity and have forgiveness of our sins, reconciliation with God. And God joined us in our humanity not only as a babe in Bethlehem and incarnate as a human, but to the full extent of our humanity, which was the suffering due to sin and death, sin's penalty on the cross. And that was the completion of God's joining himself to us, so that we, if we accept that invitation, can be joined to him and reconciled to God. And so that's a much different view of how God saves us. And I have a very silly example. It's almost like, you know, in a rescue scene when somebody's drowning in the ocean, there's a helicopter, it drops a ladder, there might be a person on the ladder rescuing the person out of the water. God did that from heaven for us in Christ Jesus. And so we are joined to God. That is how we are saved. And so God does not like suffering. God came to save us from that suffering, yet still respects our free choice, our ability to cause suffering. Not only does God not like suffering, instead of taking it away, because again, he leaves us free choice, he joins us in it. So that in our suffering, which all humans go through, we may find Christ there. Like that person at the end of the rope in the ocean reaching out to save us. And by our suffering, sometimes we are humbled to reach out and accept that salvation of God. And in our Catholic faith also, Jesus says in his passage, can you drink from the cup I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm to be baptized with? He's definitely referring to his cross and our need to share in it, but he's also referring to the sacraments. It is in our baptism that we're joined to Christ, and we die to ourselves so that the resurrected Christ can live in us, and that we have full forgiveness of our sins. And it is in this cup that we drink that we continue to further that union between God and us. And we believe that this Mass is not a recreation of the Last Supper, but it's a perpetuation of the one act of reconciliation where God joins us and gives his flesh to us so that we may receive his flesh in our flesh and in so doing receive his divine life. It's a fabulous miracle when you meditate upon it. And so What's the message for today? Here's what I think the message is. Jesus was just with his 12 disciples. He was teaching them, and three times now he warns them that I'm going to die and I'm going to suffer for you. And what do they do in response? James and John are worried about themselves. Oh, can I have the right and the left power in your kingdom to come? How rude is that, really, right? If I just told you I'm going to lay down my life for you and you start asking what you can get out of it? And then Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking for. Because a lot of times we pray for things, we ask for things that really aren't going to help us in the end after all, are they? It's not that we shouldn't do that. But if Jesus entered our humanity, joins us in our suffering, to relieve suffering, to bring us from rebellion to union with God, from hatred to love by his presence, shouldn't we in response not so much ask God, like James and John, what's in it for me? Can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Can you help me with that? Again, God gives it. He loves you. But more so, we should ask, what can I do, Lord, to share in your suffering, to share in your mission, what you died for because you thought was so important, the salvation of all people? And we too then, having received his flesh, him in us, should also be willing to go out amongst the suffering in our world and join ourselves to it and show them God's love. Lend our flesh to Christ, who truly lives in us through this Eucharist, so that we can be his compassion in the world. And not only that, those who suffer, Christ is with them too. And when we minister to them, we're ministering to Christ, relieving his sufferings. And so let us be thankful for what God has done for us. And in response, let us be Christ for others. And join the suffering especially, the poor, the outcasts, the homeless, the caravan coming through Mexico. We're all called to reach out in love to our brothers and sisters to show them Christ's companion. In our flesh, bear the sufferings that are still lacking in Christ's mission, saving the world.